on 702.
It's coming up for 25 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, around this time last year, respected journalists Adrian Basson and Peter du Toit released a book titled Enemy of the People, How Jacob Zuma Stole South Africa and How the People Fought Back. The book looks at the creation by former President Jacob Zuma of a patronage network embedded in the South African government. The process of state capture that took place under Jacob Zuma's leadership, those that supported him and those that resisted. It covers scandals such as the attempt by the Gupta family on behalf of Jet Airways to force the state-owned carrier, the South African Airways, to relinquish its air route between Johannesburg and Mumbai through the appointment of compliant government ministers. Today, News 24 published an extract from this book which attempts to connect the dots around which the capture of state-owned enterprises by the Gupta family and their associates, especially in relation to the Jet Airways deal. Well, to speak about the matter, I'm now joined on the line by Editor-in-Chief of News 24, Mr. Adrian Basson. Adrian, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Karima. Nice talking to you.
Now, of course, in your piece today, you say that before and after being fired as finance minister, Pravin Gordhan urged South Africans to connect the dots when it came to state capture. And you say in a case of the SOEs, there was a clear pattern which was unfolding. President Zuma was fires a minister. He appoints a new minister. The new minister appoints a new board of directors who opens the doors of opportunity for the Gupta Zuma empire. And so it continues. And you guys, of course, documented the way in which this happened in relation to SAA and the cancellation of the SAA route to Mumbai and the interests of an airline called Jet Airways, which was, of course, linked to the Guptas. And today we heard that Ms. Barbara Hogan, who was Minister of Public Enterprises at the time, spoke about the kind of incredible pressure that she came under when, of course, she was this minister. Before we continue with connecting the dots specifically around the cancellation of the airline and the route between South Africa and Mumbai, let's listen to Barbara Hogan speak at the public inquiry into state capture about the fact that she was told to take certain decisions and, of course, that they were to be withheld from the cabinet as a whole.
My experience was that the president stopped things from going to cabinet, instructed me to withdraw things. And I will go more into the details, but what was very worrying about that was that in one of those instructions related to Transnet, there was a potential breach of law. So, you do consult, the president would phone you and say, listen, I hear this, can we talk a bit? But it's in a collegial basis.
That was, of course, Barbara Hogan speaking at the Zondo Commission of Inquiry. And there she made reference to, of course, Transnet. But it wasn't just Transnet that was in the picture. One of the issues was, of course, also Jet Airline. Adrian, you connected the dots. Take our listeners through the way in which Ms. Hogan came under pressure regarding, the issue of the airline and, of course, how the decision was eventually taken to fire her and that route cancelled. And, of course, we see then a relationship between Jet Airline and SAA develop.
Yes, thanks, Karima. I think, Barbara Hogan's evidence today was absolutely spellbinding and we haven't even gotten to that part of the evidence. I'm sure she will get there tomorrow or the day after. It's just for me such a revelation, these evidences that's coming out before Judge Sondo, just to hear in detail, for example, today, how she was pressurized in appointing Siyabonga Gama as CEO of Transnet.
Yes.
Now, what happened with this deal, and I think it's actually quite underreported the way it happened, is that in 2010, and this came out firstly for the first time when Barbara Hogan actually gave evidence to former public protector Thuli Madonsela during her state capture investigation. Barbara Hogan told Thuli Madonsela that she was on a trip to India in 2010 as Minister of Public Enterprises.
Mm.
And it was during this trip that she first realized the influence that the Gupta family had on former President Zuma.
Yes.
When the Guptas basically, according to her, ran Zuma's program in India during the state visit. There were some interesting anecdotes about meetings being set up by the Guptas. The Guptas also controlled access to the former president during the state visit to India. And it was during the state visit that the CEO of Jet Airways in India started courting Barbara Hogan as public enterprises minister. Barbara Hogan then told Madonsela that she called Cheryl Carolus, who was then the chairperson of SAA, you remember, at the time, and ask her, listen, what is going on here? Why is this guy from Jet Airways trying to speak to me? Cheryl Carolus then told
Barbara Hogan, listen,
Barbara Hogan, sorry, that they've been trying to, that Jet Airways is lobbying very hard for the Johannesburg-Mumbai route. Now, can I just say, if you look at the financial statement of SAA, it's been a very profitable route for SAA. It's like one of the most profitable routes.
Yeah.
And I mean, as you and your listeners know, SAA really needs profitable routes, as we've been reminded of recently.
Yes.
So this thing happened. Barbara Hogan, shortly thereafter, after she seemingly didn't play along, was fired by former President Zuma.
Yeah.
And in this time, that fakey mentor enters the frame because, she, as she testified before, the Zondo Commission was called to the Gupta house. In fact, she thought she was going to meet President Zuma about something else.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a job offer from Ajay Gupta to take over Public Works, and specifically on the condition that she would cancel the SAA route between
Public Enterprises, you mean?
And Mumbai. And then fakey mentor refused to take this position. And shortly thereafter, Malusi Gigaba was appointed Minister of Public Enterprises in Barbara Hogan's place. Fast forward 2 years, Sizan Dumela was then the CEO of SAA, and Cheryl Carolus, the board chairperson, had a massive fallout with Dudu Mugyeni, a very close confidant of former President Zuma and chairperson of the SAA board at the time. And after they had left SAA, Malusi Gigaba appoints a new board at SAA, and shortly thereafter, SAA drops the route to Mumbai.
In fact, Andrian, I want to just quote from your story and the extract from the book, the consequence of all of that. You say, .7, in early 2015, SAA announced that after 20 years, it would cut the Johannesburg-Mumbai route owing to financial losses from being the most profitable flight for SAA 5 years before, and adding more flights to the route in 2012. The airline, now under the management of Mugyeni and her confidant and acting CEO Nika Bozaidenhout, started reporting from 2014 that the Indian route was making a loss. At that time, South Africa shut down the route. A travel industry official was quoted as saying flights on this route was often overbooked and were full between 82% and 88%. In a statement announcing the end of its direct flights to India, SAA praised the fact that passengers would now be able to travel to more cities on the subcontinent through a code-sharing agreement with Jet Airways and Etihad, which owned 24% of Jet Airways. And of course, this is the MO of how the Guptas in fact operated. They first put pressure. If you resist pressure, they remove you. And then, of course, they replace you with people who will be compliant. And then, of course, new economic deals are put together. So a route that has been in operation for 20 years, booked between 88% and 100% full constantly, is cancelled. And of course, a route is opened for a company that is directly linked to the Gupta family.
Yeah, And if you remember, Karima, the probably the most prominent way that South Africans took note of Jet Airways was, of course, with the Sun City wedding.
Yes.
When a Jet Airways jet or air, Boeing was actually hired privately by the Gupta family.
Yes.
And full of passengers landed at a national key point, Waterkloof Airport.
Yeah.
And the scandal that ensued, and we then already, some of us thought that there's something that's not really kosher around Jet Airways. There's something here, and if you now add all these things together, I think this is what state capture is, and we're now starting to define state capture. This is the kind of influence.
Yes.
It's not only, traditional corruption where bribes, is paid into someone for doing something or not doing something, but it's actually undermining a profitable route of your state-owned airline and getting the company to actually drop it in favor of a private foreign-owned company.
Absolutely. I'm in conversation with Editor-in-Chief of News24, Adrian Besson. We're talking about the phenomena of state capture, and of course it's offset by the testimony of former Public Enterprises Minister Barbara Hogan. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be listening to some more clips of Ms. Hogan's experience of the kind of pressure she came under to, of course, allow the Gupta to get their way, and the way in which the president continuously tried to elbow her to do their bidding. On 702. It's coming up for 13 minutes to 9 o'clock. I'm in conversation with the editor-in-chief of News24, Adrian Besson, also author of a book that basically chronicles the way in which state capture happened and how the Zuma administration aided and abetted the enrichment of the Guptas. Now, before I continue with my interview with Adrian, let's take a listen to Ms. Barbara Hogan speak about the kind of pressure that came from President Zuma insisting that Siyabonga Gama be appointed to Transnet and to become its CEO.
The president would not hear of any candidate except Siyabonga Gama. I informed him how professional the selection process was. I informed him that he was facing some serious misconduct charges. That the board, in terms of the PFMA, was obliged to investigate these charges. It wasn't just going ahead. And under these circumstances, it would not be in the interest of Transnet to appoint a group CEO who was facing, whose time would be caught up with defending himself in a misconduct. He then said to me, "You may not appoint anyone to the board," because the board also had to have changes, "until Mr. Gama's disciplinary was over." Because I said to him, "We cannot appoint him until that disciplinary is over, if that's the candidate you're insisting on." He said, "Until that disciplinary is over, you will appoint no one."
That's pretty emphatic, Adrian. And it also, of course, like Pravin Gordhan's testimony and affidavit, places President Zuma front and center in the state capture project.
Yes, it does, Karima. And, I'm reminded of Mondli Makanya's column yesterday in City Press,
yes,
where he starts to put out this idea that Zuma should or could be charged with treason.
Yes.
That if you look at the concomitant results of everything he had done and all these decisions and all these influences,
yes,
and then at the same time what the Guptas did, that actually he was governing, against the state and against the goodwill of the country. Quite shocking evidence by Barbara Hogan. It is really good and prudent to hear someone testifying like that. I did wonder, Karima, maybe you can help me, with this question today. I mean, I did at some stage wonder what would have happened if people like Barbara Hogan spoke out earlier, and why didn't they? What is it in our body politic, in the culture and the structure of maybe the governing party, the ANC, that you know, that prohibited people like her from speaking out earlier? Was it just impossible? Was it too dangerous, you know, or is it not in the culture of the party? Because, you know, we could have been spared maybe some tears, you know.
Yeah.
If a few years earlier people like her started speaking out. And I think that's some of the questions we're going to have to ponder as a country going forward.
Look, I think there are two things. I mean, if I have to put on my analyst hat to answer your question, Adrian, there are two things that we mustn't forget about the African National Congress. The one is that it has a very powerful deployment committee. And the deployment committee had decided on Mr. Siyabonga Gama. And that is, for example, explains to you why the South African Communist Party, the ANC, and everybody else came out and pushed for Siyabonga Gama, because there was a decision taken in the party. And then there's the other political culture element of the African National Congress, which is democratic centralism. So you argue inside the party, but if you lose the debate, you go with the majority, because that's the decision that has been made. But of course, there has to be a division between parties and state. And Barbara Hogan correctly pointed out to President Jacob Zuma that it would have been illegal from a government perspective to do the party's bidding, because Mr. Gama simply had to go through the process. And of course, Transnet had to continue running. We saw, of course, after that, people like Cheryl Carolus and others completely resigning, you know, from their jobs. So I think that is going to be the two things that we're going to have to ponder as more details come out about how good people like Barbara Hogan, like Pravin Gordhan, and a whole range of other people were in a cabinet, fought as long and as hard as they could to hold the line, but inevitably President Jacob Zuma got his way. Adrian, thank you very much. That is Adrian Basson, Editor-in-Chief of News 24.